grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Our text is the Gospel, the parable of the sower and the seed. We pray as we consider the Word of God. Lord, you give us this wonderful promise that your Word is powerful, living, active, will not return to you without accomplishing what you desire. Accomplish in us in your Word today great things. Give us greater faith, understanding, repentance, hope and joy, and draw us close to you. And we pray for the preaching of the gospel throughout the whole world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, an easy challenge today to begin. I'm going to say three words. You tell me what they have in common. And you should get this quite quickly. The three words are bread, sword, and honey. What do they have in common? And the congregation is dead silent. I'll give you three other words. What do these three words have in common? Light, snow, and seed. These six words are all metaphors or symbols of what? The Word of God. The gospel that you're hearing now. God's Word is compared to bread. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from God's mouth. It's compared to a sword that would penetrate. That's from Hebrews. It's a double-edged sword. God's Word is compared to honey. It's actually sweeter than honey to our mouths. It's so sweet and wonderful. God's Word is a light. Thy Word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path. God's Word in Isaiah is compared to snow or rain. It was right there in your Old Testament reading. And the gospel lesson today is compared to a seed. And let me talk about that a bit today. The parable of the sower and the seed is a very important parable. Not that they're not all important, but this is probably the first parable that Jesus teaches. It's recorded three times for us in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So the Holy Spirit is really getting our attention. Know this parable. I give it to you three times. And actually the Lord interprets it for us. So we really got it. It's important. Three simple lessons from the parable. In this parable, there's a word of command for the church. There's a word of caution, and there's a word of great, great comfort in this parable. First of all, there's a word of strong command. Now, don't miss the obvious in the parable. What is the farmer doing in the parable? Is he in his lazy boy watching the soccer match this afternoon? No. Is he in a meeting planning to sow his seed? No. What's he doing? He is sowing the seed. He is working. It's time. It's effort. He's walking his land, or he's on his animal, whichever he does. But he's out there in the hot sun, sowing the seed, throwing the seed. It's hard work. He doesn't just plan to sow the seed. He doesn't just strategize to sow the seed. He doesn't have meetings with his employees saying, we're going to sow the seed. This is how we're going to sow the seed. He actually does it. And so the church, we are here not just to talk about preaching the gospel. We do that a lot. We have meetings. We talk. We plan. We strategize. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. But do we ever do it? We are here to sow the seed, and the seed is Christ. The seed is the gospel. Doesn't look like a whole lot compared to the big bad world. The preaching of forgiveness and the cross, that's the seed. We sow the seed when we preach, when we teach, when parents teach children, when we teach our grandchildren, we tell our neighbor across the fence, we tell the community, missionaries teach and preach. All that is the sowing of the seed of the gospel, and we are here again not just to talk about it, plan it, strategize, meet about it, but do it. Time, effort, blood, sweat, and tears. A command to the church. Farm, sow the seed. You know, sowing the seed to a farmer is not an option. My grandparents were farmers. It's not an option to sow the seed. Well, do I want to sow the seed today or not? Oh, I don't know. It's not a secondary activity. Sowing the seed is not a hobby that I can and maybe don't want to do. It's life and death. If I don't sow the seed, there's no crop, there's no food for me, my family, for the community, and we all die. This is impressed upon us. The mission of the church is to preach Jesus Christ. It's not an option. It's not a secondary thing we get around to every now and then. It is life and death. Only Christ can give us a harvest. Only He can do it. It must be life and death to us, for us and the community, to preach and teach Jesus. That's what we're all about. That's why we're here. A couple more things before I move on to another point. We are to sow the seed generously. This farmer doesn't just throw a little seed here and throw a little bit there and throw a little bit there. Oh, I've done my job. Get the impression from the parable. He scatters that seed everywhere. Even in places that he probably thinks logically it's not going to grow, like the path. It's not going to grow, but I'll throw it there anyway. Who knows, by the grace of God, it might grow. Get one plant, that's better than zero. He spreads the seed generously. We are here to teach and preach Jesus all over the place. Not just now and then. But every day, all the time. As Deuteronomy says, when we walk along the path with our kids or we're sitting down, talk about it all the time, Jesus, to our neighbor, our friends. We preach and teach continuously. That's why we have a school, a Sunday school, to ever preach Jesus and sow the seed. And this is important too. We only sow the seed. You must plant the seed. Note the obvious. When part of the ground doesn't produce a harvest, the farmer doesn't change and say, seeds aren't working. I'll try rocks. I'll try M&Ms. I'll try Skittles candy. Maybe the soil will like that. I'll try something else to try to get a harvest. If you don't plant the seed, there's no harvest. Don't try something else. It's not going to work. And so I fear the church today tries everything to get people to come except preach the gospel. We try the M&Ms and the Skittles, which means we give people candy and fluff. And tell them what they want to hear. They might come. It doesn't save a soul. And gives no harvest. We must only plant the seed of Christ. Only Christ is going to give life and hope. And so the cross, the resurrection, the forgiveness of sins. You know, I heard where there are 1,500 active volcanoes in the world. I kind of heard that on 60 Minutes, which I don't know if it's believable or not. 60 Minutes, just kidding. 1,500 active volcanoes? I thought maybe there's 50 or 25. 1,500? There's fire all over the earth. Well, that doesn't really matter. May the real fire on this earth be the Christian church. We don't go wallow in the corner and cry about how the seed doesn't always produce results. We are a fire out there. That's the Holy Spirit, fire on the heads of the disciples. We're zealous. We're compassionate. We're loving, teaching Jesus and showing His love. Are we that raging fire or just a little flicker over here? Secondly, there's a word of caution. When you sow the seed and preach the gospel, it doesn't always give immediate results. There's not always a great, great harvest. Sometimes there is. Pentecost, 3,000 people. Read a little later, Peter's in jail for preaching the gospel. And Paul's stoned and nearly killed several times for preaching the gospel. Stephen is stoned. There's not always immediate great results in this work. They're just not. Notice there's four soils, types of soils in the parable. And this is one of the shocking things of the parable, of how a lot of the seed doesn't produce a harvest. What? This is the word of God. How does it not work? Well, it's working. God's going to have His day. But to us, in our day and time, it often looks like it's not working, even though it is working. The path, it's taken away. How can that be? The rocky soil. A little growth, but it's dead. The seed that's sown on the thorny soil, where thorns grow up, it's choked. 3 out of 4 soils don't produce anything. 75% of the seed seems to do nothing. This is shocking. How can it be? It's a word of reality from Jesus. When you preach and teach Jesus, you're a Christian, there's not always going to be some fabulous results where you're going to save the whole world because you're so wonderful. There'll be rejection. The path is the hard-hearted person. It's hard. They hate God, mad at God, rebel against God, pride, self-righteous. I don't want you, God. I'm fine by myself. But we still sow the seed. Because God can soften the heart like He did for St. Paul and others and create a harvest. We sow the seed. We don't give up. The rocky soil. This is the really emotional Christian who becomes a Christian. Oh, I love Jesus. He loves me. It's so exciting. I'm on a spiritual high. This is wonderful. Joy, happiness. But then reality sets in and there's crosses to bear. There's a disease. There's a bad doctor's report. There's trouble. I lose my job. Oh, well, I don't want Jesus anymore. He didn't do anything for me. And they're shallow and have no root. I see it all the time. I see this more and more as a pastor. Oh, I'm thrilled to be a Christian. Well, 3, 4, 5 months later, I'm not around. Well, life got hard. I'm not sure I want this Jesus anymore. You're not sure you want Jesus? He's the only hope you have when life is hard or when it's good. You're going to reject him. But you keep sowing the seed. God can bring him back. God can do miracles. And the seed sown where the thorns grow up, this is America. This is the American soil, friends, where the thorns grow up in the weeds and they choke the plant. Jesus says it's the deceitfulness of riches and the cares of the world. This is where people, I love Jesus, but I love my job a little more and I'll go to my job rather than worship Jesus. You got second place to my job, Jesus. Oh, really? I love mercy. I want mercy, but I sure love my money more. Money, money, money. I want salvation. But if there's a ball game on, a sports on, I'll follow that rather than you, Jesus. And the thorns and weeds continue to choke because we drift and stray. Word of caution. I don't like reality shows. You probably don't like them either. This is reality. Christ has given us reality as we witness in the world. 3 out of 4 people may reject, generally speaking. It's kind of interesting to me how about three out of four people in the world have rejected, approximately. But there's a word of comfort. There is the final soil. And oh, what a harvest it produces. And this is the comfort to the church. You don't have 4 soils that produce nothing. You do have 1 soil, the good soil, the repentant heart. The heart the Spirit has prepared, the soft heart, it's all by the working of God. That soil produces 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. This is the great wow of the parable. And parables is often a great wow factor. Wow, that's incredible. He said that. And one of the wow factors is that 30, 60, 100-fold. This is incredible to hear if you're in a farming community. Back then, they expected at best a 10-fold crop. A 10-fold crop was huge. It was a bumper crop, 10-fold. And Jesus says that his seed, which is the gospel of forgiveness, it'll produce 30-fold, 60, 100-fold. This is the great, wow, incredible, what a harvest. It makes up for all the other soils that don't produce anything. Because if the other 4, 3 soils produce something, you'd have a 40-fold crop, 10, 10, 10, 10, right? 40, 10 across the 4. But now you have 100 with 1 soil. It's double what you get from all the other ones if they produced anything. It's the wow. It's to assure us the joy of saving some will be greater than losing the others. And it'll be great comfort and joy for the church. Yes, we're sad when the 3 out of 4 don't believe, but the joy of the one that does will overcome all that sorrow. The 30-fold, 60-fold faith that we would gather on a hot summer morning and listen to the Word of God. This is harvest. That you would come up and receive the body and blood and believe it all. This is the Spirit. And that we would have joy in our sorrows. We would have hope when we're dying. We would have forgiveness of our sins and be able to forgive our brother that we have problems with. This is the harvest. We're changed people, a new creation. And the 100-fold is the resurrection of our bodies. The 100-fold is a new body, an immortal body, a glorious body in heaven and the gold streets and pearly gates. Oh, what a harvest we will behold. That's the 100-fold, the wow of paradise and the newness of resurrection that we will see soon. So comfort for the church. The gospel works. It accomplishes what God wants it to accomplish. You had one man, Jesus, and 12 lousy, doubting disciples. And look now at the Christian church in 2014. Millions and billions of Christians over the years. We're all sinners. We've had our problems, definitely. But the billions and billions of Christians, the saints in heaven, and you tell me this doesn't work. We got to somehow change the gospel to suit American appetite. Nonsense. teach and preach Jesus, the power of God to save all. I told the Bible class, and I'll tell the rest of you, you know, they are predicting, the Missouri Synod leaders who predict things about our church body. Right now we have about 6,000 congregations in America, 6,000 Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations in America. Our leaders are predicting in 50 years we'll be down to 1,000. Go from 6,000 to 1,000 in 50 years. Why? The American culture and the bad soil, and probably also the laziness of our church to do anything about it. We're not going to quit. We don't throw up our hands. We don't despair. Oh, we can't save anybody. Let's close the doors. We teach Jesus, and we preach Jesus, and we teach Jesus, and we preach Jesus, and we plant the seed, and in 50 years may there be 18,000 congregations, 24,000. We'll leave that with God, but we never give up. It works. You're an example. A word of command, sow the seed. A word of caution, not always immediate results. A word of comfort, there will be a great harvest. Just you wait and see. Amen. We rise. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We go to our God in prayer.